Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. A clear strategic focus and sound management are essential to the effective stewardship of taxpayer dollars, enabling agency decision makers to make tough choices on day-to-day and long-term management challenges. The U.S. Department of the Treasury has sought to improve performance and operations while managing its resources more effectively and efficiently. In an era of fiscal austerity, doing this is even more pressing. What is Treasury's management performance agenda? What is Treasury doing to consolidate its office space and right-size its operational footprint? And how is Treasury working to transform the way it does business? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Nani Coloretti, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Management. Welcome to the show, Nani.
Thanks. Great to be here. Really great to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Roxanne Ulrich.
Thanks.
So before we delve into specific initiatives, Nani, I'd like to understand a little bit more about your organization. Could you give us an overview of the history and mission of the U.S. Department of the Treasury?
Sure, gladly. Treasury is the third oldest department or agency, executive department in the federal government. It's been around since 1789. It's been burned down to the ground a couple of times, most recently from the War of 1812 and actually again in 1814. So they built the Treasury building to be fireproof. So that's my little quick anecdote for you. But the reason why the Treasury Department came into being was to actually, the first thing they did was they federally assumed $75 million of debt, and that's a lot of money back then, for the Revolutionary War, dollar for dollar. So it was, you know, sort of the feeling at the time that the country should actually make good on its promises. And that's what Treasury, how it came into being. It has since kind of housed a lot of different agencies that have spun out and become their own agencies, including GSA. Mm-hmm. And the Coast Guard was a part of Treasury for a little while. Post Office was a part of Treasury. So it's really been kind of an incubator of agencies over time. And really one thing that's stayed in common at Treasury is its mission to sort of produce coins and currency and protect the economy of the United States.
So with such a critical mission, I'd like to understand its operational footprint. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us a little bit more about how it's organized, the size of your budget, number of employees, and its geographical footprint?
Sure. So Treasury's nationwide. It has 11 bureaus. Three of them are IGs. So there are eight sort of operational bureaus, the largest of which is the IRS. And the IRS is some 95,000 employees, and they are all over the country. They have some large regional offices in Dallas and in Atlanta, and then regional offices out in Fresno and some other areas. The oldest bureau is the Mint, and it also has a regional footprint, and so does the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. So many of our bureaus have, you know, sort of a regional footprint. They're just the largest one. So there are some 110,000 employees across Treasury, but the largest one is the IRS with 95,000.
I'd like to focus more on your specific responsibilities at Treasury, Nani. Could you share some insight around what your duties are and the areas that are under your purview? I mean, you hold many hats, so to speak, Assistant Secretary for Management and CPO. Just curious how your efforts support the Treasury's overall mission.
Sure, yeah. So you touched on some of them. So I head up all the management and budget and operational functions of Treasury. We sort of have a Treasury-wide role and also am responsible for administering the headquarters as a bureau. So the headquarters has about 2,000 people in it, and so I'm the notional head of that bureau, although, of course, this is a bureau that includes the Secretary of the Treasury, so I take my direction from my superiors. My functions include sort of management and budget, appropriations, information technology, human resources. The deputy CFO is in my organization, procurement policy, privacy, transparency, records, emergency preparedness, and a relatively new office currently in my group called the Office of Minority and Women Inclusion. So some of the small business contracting and also diversity and inclusion.
So with your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three or so challenges you've faced, and how have you sought to address those challenges?
The top challenge right now, I think, across the government is sort of managing with reduced or constrained resources and in kind of in a time of uncertainty. So we have sort of a tagline in my office called Delivering More Mission for the Money, and that is sort of what we've been doing over these past few years. Some of the ways in which we've addressed this is by we've merged a couple of bureaus together, and that has actually helped actually reduce our footprint, but at the same time sort of maintain a constant and changing level of service. We've created a paperless treasury initiative over the last few years that is set to save about $500 million over 10 years. And that really is changing the way we interact with people. And we also are pursuing a number of shared services strategies. So that's one of the ways, several of the ways in which we're dealing with reduced resources. Another challenge, if we're going for top three, is sort of the employee turnover and retirement. I saw an article in the paper, the Washington Post, not too long ago about the number of executives leaving and retiring. At Treasury, 70% of the senior executives are slated to retire in the next 5 years. And that's pretty high, heavy lift, yeah. And I can talk more about this later, but we are doing a leadership initiative and really leaning into succession planning and creating leadership and excellent networks to try to address that over time. And then just in general, I think when you come to government, managing within federal constraints and sort of a lot of the rules in which you need to follow when you're managing in a federal space are not issued by you. So you really need to pay attention to what's going on in the Office of Management and Budget, the Office of Personnel Management, and so forth, because there are communities of practice that are moving to the next thing and the next thing, and you really need to sort of keep up and follow along with those things.
Well, along with the challenges you've encountered, managing the resources of a department as expansive as the Treasury can, I'm sure, also be fraught with unexpected surprises. But considering that, what has surprised you the most since taking your role, and how have your previous roles prepared you for your current leadership role?
I thought a lot about this question, and I think most of my career is in government. And so I have to say, really, nothing has really surprised me that I hadn't seen in some form or another. It is sort of interesting, though. The last time I was in the federal government was in the mid-90s when we had a shutdown. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the same dynamic that existed then is sort of coming back now. And that makes it difficult to manage when you have sort of uncertainty in what your level of appropriations is going to be and uncertainty in where you're headed. And so a lot of the jobs that I've held in the past have actually helped just have an understanding of what is going on and how we might be able to deal with it and try to get ahead of it and also not get caught up in I call it a lot of background noise. In addition, so having all the background noise is important to like track your appropriations bill on the Hill, and that's ultimately going to be what rules what kind of resources you have. But there are many, many things you can do in advance of that if you can just focus on the work at hand and not, get too caught up in the noise.
So, Nani, with that, I know just prepping for this, you worked in government in both the local and mm-hmm. the municipal area, as well as the federal space.
Mm-hmm. And state.
Mm-hmm. And so with that kind of pedigree, what makes an effective leader and who has shaped your leadership and management approach?
Gosh. So a great leader, I think, is someone who knows him or herself really well. What I've noticed over time as I've kind of come up through the ranks is that people who have a high level or high degree of emotional intelligence are actually able to navigate uncertainty better. They're better equipped to do that. So whatever comes their way, they're actually, okay, here are some things I can do, here are some options. But so a great leader sort of has a high degree of emotional intelligence, but also is authentic in their dealings, can inspire and motivate people to be their very best selves, right? So if you're a great leader, people want to work for you, and they also want to be as productive as possible when they're working for you. And then finally, I would say a great leader is a great coach, because there's no better way to learn a different way of doing something than having somebody just kind of probe and ask you questions as opposed to sort of telling you how to do it. So those are kind of the elements of great leadership that I would say. And I have had just the pleasure of working with all kinds of great leaders. Jack Lew is a fantastic leader. He is just incredibly knowledgeable and incredibly down to earth. And I would say the same for Secretary, you know, Tim Geithner. Just a fantastic leader. The Deputy Secretary, the current Deputy Secretary, Neil Wolin, is a great leader. And I would say the mayor of San Francisco, who I worked for a few years before coming out here, was also a really good example of a leader. And just in addition to sort of all of these, the people that I mentioned, having incredible depth of content knowledge and just being incredibly smart and quick on their feet, they were also able to sort of inspire and motivate people to be do their best and be their highest selves. And I think that's really important.
What is Treasury's management and performance agenda? We will ask Nani Coloretti, Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Management, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.